When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Friends, welcome to WrestleBuddies, GameSpot's wrestling podcast filled with wrestling friendship and wrestling with friendship.
Was that a friendship question mark?
Yeah, no, it was a positive exclamation point.
Friendship.
I am your host, Matt Elfring. With me, as always, Dark Order member and man with great hair, Chris Hayner. Chris, hi.
Join the Dark Order, Matt. JoinDarkOrder.com. I know you said that because literally, as I signed onto Zoom, I was brushing my hair. I'm holding it up right now. I have a black and hot pink hairbrush that I keep at my desk to brush my hair with because it is the only kind of hairbrush I like. It's one of the kinds, Matt, where you have the brush teeth or whatever, but it's got the squishy middle instead of so like when you can contour against your head for people who have beautiful manes like myself.
I would call that the Bret Hart hairbrush.
It does look like if they released a Bret Hart action figure in like 96 that had Barbie doll like black hair, this is the little tiny hairbrush that would have come with it, because it is black and Bret Hart pink for sure.
Yes.
It looks like maybe a heel run Bret Hart set of tights. It's like that kind of thing. It's mostly black with like hot pink highlights. This, by the way, for the people wondering how I take care of my hair, this is a Conair hairbrush.
Ooh.
Use Conair. I'm not going to say that they're not sponsoring the show, but like, listen, Conair, if you're out there and you want to send me more hairbrushes, I am here.
If you're wondering how I can take care of my bald head, not this week by any chance. I use a skull shaver.
It's true, Matt. You got some fuzz going on the sides and back.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Nah, Matt, I think it looks good.
I use a skull shaver, handheld electric shaver to shave my head. And you can do it in the shower, which I like.
Like Manscaped. Those are also good to use in the shower, I'm told.
I've been told that, but I like the skull shaver. It's
all
the,
right.
the pit bull. It has a little pit bull picture on it. It's like, rawr.
Wow. Do you shave a pit bull? Is that a thing?
I don't know. That's another episode. This week's episode, we got some specialties coming up, Chris. There's a couple of really nice specials on the menu. Tasty, and they'll fill you up.
I would hope so. I would hope so. If not, like, I'm sorry, but Matt and I are very busy human beings, and we can only do so much. So you know what? Maybe get off our back.
Yeah, get off our back.
I'm just going to say it. Get off our back. We're trying here.
While we're at it, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
5 stars or get off our back.
Someone please review with Apple Podcast 5 stars or get off our back.
Yeah, just write like, I feel like I'm being held hostage, 5 stars, but like, why are they such bullies to me, the listener?
If we had a t-shirt, 5 stars or get off our back would be a good one.
Absolutely. Matt, there are a billion t-shirts we should have. Let's be honest.
What's on the menu today, Wrestle Buddies?
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
Oh, also I'm asking you.
So this Sunday, August 15th on the Stars with a Z television network, a television program called Heels debuts. It is about an independent professional wrestling company in the South. It is in Georgia.
It's Heels with an S, not with a Z,
which is confusing because Stars is not Stars with an S. It is Stars with a Z.
So writing news for that show has been confusing for me.
It's been great. It's been wonderful.
Actually, I love it. Yeah, it's fine.
Matt and I have seen, I think,
somewhere between 4 and 7 episodes of the show each. We have 7, but like we've also been very busy and we're not watching together because like, Matt, honestly, these are reasons why I wish we shared an office so that like we could just crash out on a couch together and watch Heels together and just be like yelling and screaming like, oh, powerbomb. Tope con hio. Tope suicida. No. You have to scream it.
Tope suicida.
No, this is, we live in Excalibur's world. You have to scream it, Matt.
I can't scream it.
Tope suicida.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
So Heel stars Alexander Ludwig from Vikings and Stephen Amell from Arrow. They play a couple of wrestle boys who are also brothers, but like one's the face, one's the heel, and they're essentially the faces slash front men of their family's tiny pro wrestling company. And you see a lot of behind the scenes drama, a lot of family drama, a lot of in the ring drama. And some fun wrestling, honestly, and some fun characters. And you're going to see some fun wrestlers pop up in the show. You will see in the first few episodes CM Punk as my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yes.
Weird redneck who spits blood on people. I guess it's just weird redneck character.
Yes.
And then also,
but he's a family man. He is a family man.
That's true. He is a family man. And just like every wrestler in the South, he has a valet, which is like, I will say this, something about I want to note another wrestler we will see pop up this season, which I haven't seen yet. Mick Foley is on the first season of Heels.
I have not seen it yet either.
Something I like, let me first preface this by saying we will be joined in a little bit by Stephen Amell and Alexander Ludwig to talk about the show. I spoke with them earlier this week about wrestling and Amell getting back in the ring and training for the show, which sounds a lot worse than you probably think it was. It sounds painful because like whether you're doing it for a fictionalized TV show or for a wrestling show, you're still throwing yourself at the floor.
Yes.
Good times. But before we get to that, Matt, let's just talk a bit about what we think about the show. Cause like, I like it.
Chris, I want to get the thing I hate about this show right out in the open. And we're not going to get into spoilers, like specific spoilers. Like we're going to have a broad general talk about the show, but I do want to state that the, opening intro, just the intro as a whole for the show.
Opening credits?
It's the worst. It is by far the worst. It does not make me want to watch this show at all.
It looks like Smallville, but with a much slower song. Like if you threw some Remy Zero under this thing, like I'd be way more into it. I'd be like, somebody save me.
I understand it's a family drama and really the show, it's a family drama that just happens in the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
But like, I don't need like the like single guitar, slow rock, like we're gonna come together one day at a time. That's not the lyrics of the song, but it feels like that.
Together for the good of our families.
Here's some pictures of the main characters as kids getting along. Now they don't.
With arms wide open. Honestly, it's what's funny about the opening credits is I mocked it by doing a Creed lyric. Creed is a harder rock than the theme song to this show, which says something. But okay, let's just throw that right out. Let's just
terrible.
They can change that. Who cares? Let's talk about the show. Because Matt, the show is dope.
Man, going into this, and I'm like, okay, we got a wrestling TV show starring Stephen Amell. The trailers don't do the show justice. They're not great. This was so good. And it takes a couple episodes. I think when Chris and I were talking about this as we were watching the screeners throughout the couple of weeks we had them, it took me, I think, until about episode 2 or 3 to be like, oh, man, like I am super all in. Because pilot episodes, let's be honest.
Like the pay-per-view like that Stephen Amell wrestled at? I get you.
That I was there. I was at that.
Oh, that's right.
As a whole, pilot episodes tend to suck. I mean, we should just throw it out there because it's all set up. It's all exposition. It's very, very tough to have a pilot episode that that wows you.
I mean, the first episode of I always default to the first episodes of The American Office, which is just a rehash of the British Office.
Pilot, it's terrible.
And except done worse. And yes. Then the pilot episode of Parks and Rec, which is not good at all. And Parks and Rec is one of my top five TV shows of all time.
I say that the first episode of Breaking Bad is also not good.
I would agree with that. Yeah, like
it's a comedy.
Essentially, the job of a pilot episode is to give you an idea of what the show wants to be, but it's before they've figured out what the show is going to be.
What I would say that works about Heels is it does a fine job setting up like this is the world, these are the issues within the world. Tonally, it remains consistent through later episodes, which I really, really like. It's not a bad pilot, but it's not one that gets me very excited by the show. Like I said, I think it took till episode two or three. There's a moment where I'm like, oh, hell yes. Like, this is what the show's going to be. Like, I'm pumped for it.
What I like about it a lot, what I don't like about it a lot is there's some very hit and miss Southern accent work going on, we'll say.
Yeah.
But that's whatever, that's fine. What I like about the show is that it doesn't ignore the realities of pro wrestling, that like, yes, the ending is predetermined. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a choreographed art piece. That's what's happening between these two people in the ring. However, what you also see in a weird way is the politics behind that, specifically when it comes to the two brothers, Alex, played by Alex, and Steven. They are both like this
Jack and Ace.
Jack and Ace Spade. This small wrestling company, the Duffy Wrestling League, set in Duffy, Georgia, is their family's heritage. It is their family's legacy. It was mm-hmm. their dad's thing. Now their dad is gone and they are in charge. And so the two of them are constantly at odds with each other about who should be essentially the face of the family. And yes. That sort of spills over to their wrestling characters and how they want to be presented and how they think they should be the focus of the show. I just find it to be a really interesting little look into both pro wrestling as a performance art / sport entertainment. But also just like what goes on when the camera's not running, when you're not in front of the crowd, what goes on behind the curtain?
And they super do not shy away from making like these people look bad when necessary, you know, giving you a realistic look like, yeah, this guy's a face when he's in the ring, but outside of the ring, like he's a horrible human being, you know, like you get that.
I mean, so realistically, the hero of the show is Jack Spade, played by Stephen Amell, who his mm-hmm. character is a heel character in yes. the ring. And he's sort of the one holding things together outside the ring. But what you also come to realize is that he's also not a good guy a lot of the time. He is a flawed person. Mm-hmm. His brother, Ace, hero among heroes inside of the ring, kind of a jerk outside of the ring, but like
scumbag.
But you also like the show also like works hard to explain some of the reasons why, like what built him to be the person he is now. And then it does things that like, honestly, is probably some of the most important stuff that's happening in this show is characters like Rooster.
Yeah.
Rooster, who is an African-American man that like is dying to be given the chance to be the star. And as we all know, look, we all love wrestling, but we all know wrestling historically has not been kind to talent that isn't white.
Yes.
It's just it's the reality of the situation. And that. And now compounding this with like, this is a show set deep in the South, like exploring that piece of the story, that is something, at least in the first four episodes, it starts to trickle into. And I'm really, truly hoping it goes even deeper as the episodes go on. So, yeah, it's there's some really, really fun stuff being explored in the show.
I haven't watched all the screeners that I have, but I think I've watched all but one or whatever. The Rooster stuff gets fantastic. Like there's some really good stuff with Rooster later on. There's
awesome.
There's so many. What I'm really enjoying is that. So the status quo, normalcy is set up within episode one. That is the only time you'll have normalcy within this show at all, within family dynamics, within friendship dynamics, within in ring dynamics. The show is great at expanding at what it starts in the pilot. Chris Bauer's character, Wild Bill, is someone you kind of see in the beginning. He's like a Hulk Hogan who's no longer with the WWE, I think is the best way to explain him, who came from, not that level, but you know what I mean. Like he went to the big leagues at a WWE-like company and then came back down to where are his roots.
Right. That character is really interesting because, like, Matt, when you and I watched the episodes, we're like, oh, it's Michael Hayes.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
In speaking to, I actually spoke with Chris Bauer for a piece that'll be coming later to GameSpot. He didn't know who Michael Hayes was, and he still hasn't, but he was like, you're not the first person that said this to me. And like, now I'm fascinated with the idea of going and looking up tape of Michael Hayes to see how close it actually is. Like, according to him, a lot of like the look of the character is heavily based on Jake the Snake Roberts late in his WWF run.
Yeah.
And it's just like he had a couple of different touchstones for just sort of what the cadence and the character is that I find really interesting. And none of them are Michael Hayes. And I'm like, bro, you are such a fabulous freebird and you don't even know it. It's wild to me.
His character gets expanded upon a lot later on. There's also Mike O'Malley's character. That's Guts host Mike O'Malley, who is an executive producer and plays a man who runs another promotion in the area, competing promotion in the area. We get a little bit of him. Like, there's just a lot of good. Mary McCormick's character, geez.
Oh my God, Willie is the best. I love Willie.
She's like the manager of DWF. She kind of does, while Stephen Amell's character kind of books the show and puts the storylines together, Mary McCormick's the glue that holds the promotion together, like doing all the dirty work backstage.
It's interesting. What I find most interesting about Mary McCormick's character of Willie is that she is not a spade. She's not a member of that family. She has technically like no legacy wise, no investment in the success of the DFL, DWL. Mm-hmm. However, she cares just as much, if not more, as Jack about the success of that league because it's been her life. And in talking to Mary for the show, like in her mind, like Willie always wanted to be a wrestler, but like the DWL doesn't do women's wrestling. So she didn't get the opportunity. So this is how she contribute. And now she's fully invested to the point where something that's really interesting is she's almost living two lives. She like, cause especially when we've like at a certain point you follow her home and you see that she has a very normal domestic life. And then she has her wrestling life, which is just backstage with a bunch of sweaty dudes fighting each other.
But that's kind of what I liked about the show is that there is it. Yes, it's mainly about Jack and Ace, but it's much more an ensemble cast. And there are a lot of interweaving storylines going on, but nothing ever feels convoluted. Nothing ever feels too fast paced. It works so well within the framework of like the hour episodes. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a wrestling show, which I guess some people may be turned off by if you're not a wrestling fan. Although I think it does speak to non-wrestling fans very, very well. They over-explain some of the terminology in the first episode, which is very annoying to hardcore wrestling fans, but it doesn't happen often.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a family story and it's a good family story, which is, you know, how many good drama family stories are out there at one time. And I would, you know, this is a show I'm actually looking forward to watching again when it starts premiering live.
I'll also say this. I feel like it's important for us as the Wrestle Buddies, the preeminent and foremost minds of professional wrestling fandom, to note that like, the wrestling is good.
Yeah.
Yes, they do use stunt people for some things because, I mean, in the real non-pro wrestling TV world, there are things like unions and whatnot that, like, make sure that, like, we can always, like, and there's insurance and there's all these things where, like, we can't put our talent in too big a risk of danger, especially when, like, these are actors who haven't spent their entire lives training to do this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, however, they are doing some of it. And also there's a lot of training that went into it. Like talking to the cast about the training and how like it started in Los Angeles where they all trained with Chavo Guerrero,
Because Chavo Guerrero trains all TV people now.
All the TV wrestlers train with Chavo. And then, like, Stars built them a full-on wrestling ring and gym on site at the studio in Georgia. So, like, what I found really interesting is they brought in indie wrestlers who were in the area there to help train them on set in Georgia, which I think is a really cool way to go about it. And like, you're going to see these wrestlers you're going to see these actors do wrestling, and they did get hurt. Like, Alex Ludwig has talked about in interviews that, like, he was genuinely surprised that, like, the ropes suck. Mm-hmm. They're not ropes. They're elevator cables wrapped in duct tape. And he learned that the hard way by bouncing off of them and getting bruised up ribs. I talked to Alan Maldonado and James Harrison, who play Rooster and Apocalypse, right?
Yeah. James Harrison from
the Steelers. Football.
Steelers man, James Harrison. Like, I love James Harrison as a football player, so...
And like, they both injured themselves going out of the ring. According to James, there's a scene where Apocalypse gets knocked out of the ring and he like messed up his knee and had to get stem cell treatment for it. Jeez. Which, like, he's a former NFL player and he got tore up on this show. And then Al Maldonado said he did a dive out of the ring and like just. Some like timed it wrong or whatever and landed hard on his butt, and like he was like, it sucked. And I'm like, yeah, because it's the floor down there. When you land on the floor, it's the floor.
But that's the thing I think I like about heels so much, is it treats wrestling with respect and takes it seriously, compared to there have been other wrestling shows that I've enjoyed, but maybe that's one aspect of the show I didn't like, you know, because wrestling is seen as by outsiders as a joke. I think we could agree on that. A lot of outsiders see it as
kind that of is a joke. That's actually a conversation we were having yesterday on Twitter about how which is going to turn into an episode.
I think we're having Michael Kingston back on for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I love about heels is that it takes it seriously. It's not trying to like make fun at wrestling or whatever. Like, it's showing you indie wrestling in the South. People live and die for this. And like, there's love and passion in it, and that's what I'm really enjoying.
Well, and that is 100,000% thanks to creator Michael Waldron, who non-wrestling fans will recognize as the writer of Loki on Disney Plus and the upcoming Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. He wrote Loki and he wrote that movie. He's also the creator here, and like, he is a huge wrestling fan who is from the area. Like, he's essentially writing the show about his experience as a wrestling fan growing up, going to these tiny shows in the South. And like, these were the people that were his superheroes growing up. And like, so we've had movies like The Wrestler. We've had shows like Glow, and like, they're great. But like, if you watch The Wrestler, you're watching it because of the performance of Mickey Rourke. You're not expecting like it is a realistic portrayal of some independent wrestlers' experiences, but like, it's not necessarily a full view of the sport of pro wrestling or the art.
There's
of
nothing,
pro wrestling.
There's nothing feel good about The Wrestler.
No,
I love Aronofsky. I do enjoy The Wrestler. There's nothing feel good. There's no hope. At least with heels, like, there's feel good. We can all relate to it because we all have family drama. We can relate to it as wrestling fans because we understand the business to an extent. And that's what I love.
This show feels like it loves pro wrestling.
Yes.
Like Glow. I love Glow, but Glow isn't about a love of wrestling. It's about a love of female empowerment. And it's freaking great. Love
the first couple
show.
Seasons. I love.
I didn't love the Vegas season so much, but this is the so much of this show is just a love letter to professional wrestling, and like, man, I'm really into that.
Me too. So what was it? August 15th, Chris.
August 15th on Stars with a Z. You can watch Heels with an S. and you're gonna love it. You're gonna dig it.
Yeah.
We hope you dig it. But if you want to know a little bit more. Thankfully, we have a little bit more. I sat down with Stephen Amell, as previously said, and Alexander Ludwig to talk about the show, Steven's love, well-documented love of wrestling and how badly he's itching to get back in the ring. Alexander training and how, Matt, he wants a match. He wants someone to book the Spade brothers in a match, and I'm about it.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Let's go check that out.
Steven, I'm going to start with you. Obviously, you are a fan. You have wrestled. You've wrestled on the biggest stages one can wrestle on.
Sure.
What was it about the what first drew you into wanting to do this show? And like, how important was it for you to capture the industry the right way?
Well, second thing first, that was critically important. I love pro wrestling. I love it. And I want to see it done right. You know, I think like they did a good job with like a movie like The Wrestler. I thought that was a great movie, but we've never really shone a light on the independent scene in professional wrestling, which makes up like a giant portion of professional wrestling. Every guy that you see right now in the WWE and AEW, every single one of those guys at one point or another has wrestled in a Duffy Dome. Mm-hmm. Like they've all done it. And typically it's some of their fondest and most painful memories, because it's the matches in front of 200 people, 150 people. It's those matches that like, that's when you're trying to make a name for yourself and you're going for it. You really are. Having Mick Foley and Phil Brooks on the show, just they would tell stories about matches that they did in front of 50 people where they're putting their bodies on the line. And then what drew me to it is it's quite simple. It's Michael Waldron's writing. He's just got this whole world. He's got this whole world figured out and fleshed out, because it's such a story that he ripped from his childhood, growing up in Georgia and being a huge fan of professional wrestling. So the fact that it's about wrestling was a huge bonus and a natural fit for me. But yeah, it had to be good, and it is.
And obviously a lot of training went into this. I'm going to start with you, Alex. Both of you come from very, very physically intensive shows prior to Heels. But I'm wondering for you, talk to me about the training to become a wrestler. What hurt the most? What surprised you the most? And do you think you could have a match? Do you think you could pull it off?
I was really hoping that when I saw the script in this title, Heels, that it would be about a shoemaker.
Just a humble cobbler.
Yeah, humble cobbler. But back in it, full swing. This was without a doubt the most physically demanding show I've ever been a part of. We had to train harder than I've ever trained for anything. And that was because it was really important to Steven, myself, the whole cast and crew that we did right by the wrestling community. So that started with months of training with Chavo Guerrero in Los Angeles. He comes from a very prolific wrestling family as well. And we traveled to Atlanta, Georgia, and had this incredible gym built for us by the studio. When we weren't in the gym, we were in the wrestling ring, being trained by pros that were currently wrestling in the South. And they were on our stunt team as well. Incredible. Luke Cox, Brady Pierce, Scott. It was just an incredible group of people. But man, the athleticism that goes into wrestling, I mean, my respect has grown tenfold from what I first knew, because these men and women use and abuse their bodies on a regular basis, time and time again, hundreds of days out of the year, just to put food on the table because they want more out of life and they want to be a part of this incredible performance. So could I wrestle? For 5 minutes. For 5 minutes up until cut, we can make it look good enough.
No way, man. No, but, no way. No, you could do it. You could do it. What you're not factoring in is being out there in front of like 16,000 people and the just overwhelming, oppressive fear of failure.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true, because I will say this. When CM Punk did a cameo on our show, and he gave me a pat on the back and said, man, that was badass. Never have I felt cooler, and never have I felt like I could put my life on the line more. We really did put in the work for this. Steven's experience professionally was hugely beneficial to the show as well.
Well, then, Stephen, like I was at SummerSlam the year you performed, which was incredible. Like, I understand what you're saying about being in front of that crowd. That is a huge crowd packed with people staring directly at you.
Yeah.
How about, did this give you the itch to get back in the ring?
Sure. Yeah. Because, you know, with we train for, you know, for SummerSlam or for the Ring of Honor show or for All In, mm-hmm. You know, I was faking it. You know what I mean? Like, we were so scripted and so controlled that it was really all about like just sort of fake it just a little mm-hmm. bit, you know, like see what you can get away with. And I had such great opponents for that. But, you know, this time I actually got to put in the time, you mm-hmm. know, like in the gymnasium that they built for us on our sound stages, we had a ring. And so, you know, every day that I went to the gym, you know, my warm up would be, even if I wasn't doing work in the ring that day, you know, my warm up would be running the ropes and just bumping for, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get a little bit of sweat going. And just doing that, just working on the basics, like punching mm-hmm. and locking up, you know, that just makes you better, period. Mm-hmm.
Let me just say though, if this show blows up and we get invited to do a match, there's no way we could even say no.
Absolutely not. No.
We have to do it. No. So like
contractually obligated.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm just saying, as a fan, the people want to see it. Like,
well, we're in, man. I would love that. That'd be an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Just getting your ass kicked in front of
That's really what it's all about. The other day, talking to other casts earlier, it's all about the best guy is the one who looks the best getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
Kind of shifting to wrap up, shifting a bit away from the wrestling and more focusing on the brotherly dynamic. You guys play these brothers who are seemingly forever at odds about essentially who is the rightful king of the family. How easy was it, or difficult was it, I guess, to find that dynamic and chemistry between the two of you once you got together on set?
We're very fortunate that, you know, believe it or not, we like each other. Now, there's still plenty of time for egos to get in the way. I mean, I know that a lot of the niceties and pleasures that I brought to season one, throwing mm-hmm. those away if we're a success. Okay. No, we like each other. It's as simple as that. And it's that nice big brother, older, younger brother dynamic, because, you know, inevitably the younger brother's always like a little bit taller, a little bit more athletic, and the older brother's more handsome. So there you go.
Yes, yes. But the little brother's got that flowing blonde hair. That's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is that it was already on the page. That was the amazing thing about the show, is that like literally so little had to be done. We're like, we just need to take this script mm-hmm. and put it on the TV. And that's a way bigger ask than you think. Like, I like never have I been a part of a show where I'm like, holy shit, we actually made the show we set out to make. And I mean, everything from like the script to like, even just, and this is like a little ridiculous, but even the poster, man, I'm like, holy crap, it's not even just us who knew the show we were making. It's the publicity team. It's the crew. It's the directors. Everybody was on the same page about what this was. And that was amazing.
Fantastic. Well, you guys did a great job. I can't wait to see more. And congrats.
Thanks, man.
Much, man. Good talking to you again.
Thank you, Alexander Ludwig and Stephen Amell for talking to Chris, not me, about the show again.
Yeah, you're not invited to our cool guy hangout. Sorry, Matt.
That's all right. It's okay. I'm just glad we got to see heels early. Because I super love the show legitimately, you know, like
I do too. And I don't have stars. So stars, keep sending me screeners.
Oh, yeah. Also that I don't have stars.
This is the first star show where I've been at. Like I was really into the first few seasons of Outlander.
I had stars for that because my wife loved it.
I ever tell you about the time I went to set for that show?
You did.
That was a real story. Oof. We're not going to touch that one here with a 15-foot pole.
We're going to kind of wrap it up here, guys. And I want you all, guys and girls, everyone, friends. We're going to wrap that up here, friends. Next week, two episodes. You are first. We're talking to Nikki, ASH, Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah, baby.
And it might be one of my more favorite interviews because she's just so like, I don't know, man. She gives me a lot of hope for like the future of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as always, we are going to have predictions for SummerSlam featuring Chris Hayner, myself, Matt Elfring.
Absolutely.
And as always,
oh God,
prediction bot 3000.
No. I hope the SmackDown hacker hacks the prediction bot one day.
Oh, man, you are setting up a storyline that's going to have me doing a lot of editing, Chris.
You're welcome. This is what you get for abandoning me. He says as he also plans to take time off next week to go to a wedding.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, we both are taking time off next week. That's why we're recording this so early.
But you're doing it first because you're abandoning me.
Okay. Anyway, that'll be it for this week. Chris, any final words?
Oh, yeah, baby. Rooster Robbins for DWL champion.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.